This morning, Brother Bill asked me what I had to preach on, or what I was going to try to preach on. And a lot of times I'm being honest when I say, well, I don't really know. But this, I told him this morning, I said, I'm going to preach, or try to preach, on the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, that covers all the scriptures. But this morning, I want particular things that caught two things, Brother David, that caught my mind as we were singing two songs. I kind of folded. I hope you don't mind me folding the pages over a little. But the first one was 411, Further Along. The apostle said in 1 Corinthians chapter, I think it's 13, he says, we see through a glass darkly. We see only, it's like we're, and I have tried to illustrate this by looking through a welding helmet. Have you ever looked through a welding helmet? Have you ever looked through a welding helmet without any light around? You know, and it's like looking into something dark. And the only time they can see something is when there's a light shined in there. And anyway, it's the purpose of it, of course, is to keep from burning your retinas with the bright light from the welder. But or we can put on a real dark pair of sunglasses and walk into a building. You can see outside real well, but when you put those on. But anyway, he says we see through a glass dark, or through a dark glass. It's like we're walking along in the, you know, there is a, when you're walking in the twilight of the morning, I mean, I love the morning, but sometimes, you know, when it's really just the sun barely coming up, it's kind of just a little light showing. But my point here is this, we only can see little glimpses of what really is. But the song says, further along, we'll know all about it. Further along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it further along, or all by and by. You know, I don't remember who it was. Anyway, somebody said something. They said, you know, people have all kinds of different things about what's going to be like and all this stuff. And one person said, I just can't hardly wait to get up to heaven to tell my husband, I told you. But you know, there's not going to be any of that stuff. There's not going to be sassy wives and sassy husbands saying, I told you that, see? But there's things that we do not know now. And we will know. In 1 John chapter 3, remember? It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall see him, we shall see him as he is. We shall know, you know, we shall know as we're known. We're going to be like Jesus. Well, there's so many different places in scriptures that we'd like to go, but there's two. The reason I went to this song, if I can find the verse I want, it says in verse 2, when death has come and taken our loved ones, it leaves our home so lonely and drear. Then do we wonder why others prosper living so wicked year after year? We do, naturally. Sometimes we look around at things and it seems like the saints of God, they suffer more than other people. I mean, but you know, I want to ask you a question this morning. If we didn't have any troubles, any trials, any sufferings, would we be kind of like them? We wouldn't really need to pray. We wouldn't even, there wouldn't be any reason for us to look forward. You know, Jesus said in this world, you're going to have troubles. You're going to have troubles and trials and tribulations. It's going, you just might as well just get ready for that. But he says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And Brother Keith talked about the darkness of this world in his prayer. This world is dark. You know, and men by nature are dark. There is no light in them. And the darkness is simply the absence of light. And we, before we were born to the Spirit of God, we were total darkness. You see, the darkness doesn't shine into the light, but the light shines into the darkness. And when darkness, and when the light comes, darkness flees. But when we're just have a little bit of light, you know, I just changed it, Brother Keith. It reminds me of this. In our closet in the house, there we have these fluorescent lights, and we just changed the thing. I changed the bulb, and I said, "Well, see, there it's just as bright as can be." But 2 weeks later, it's starting to get dim, and I said, "You have to get a flashlight to see in this thing." But it gets darker, and it's hard to see in the dark. But we're not in the dark. No. And this is the point of part of my sermon. But it says, faithful till death, our loving master, a few more days to labor and wait. Toils of the road will then seem as nothing when we sweep through that beautiful gate. Now notice the last verse. When we see Jesus. We sing the song, I would see Jesus. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion and we'll understand it better by and by. Now, the word mansion that's in here may be a misnomer for some or give you a different view. But in this, the other song that I had has the word mansion in it. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. We sing the songs of victory here, but we'll never sing them like we will over there. Because we will sing in perfect harmony with the angels. But the word mansion, that as we look at it from that standpoint, it's in the scriptures. In John chapter 14. And Jesus is here just about ready. This is his last supper. He's already had the last supper. And in John 14, he's instructing the apostles. And you can take John 14, 15, 16, and 17, and it's all red letters, if you have a red letter edition. That simply means this is a continual narrative of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in this particular chapter, verse 14, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, the point here is this. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now, I don't see that. I like the imagery that a mansion brings to my mind. Because it kind of brings to my mind that there's this wonderful, beautiful mansion, beautiful castle on the hill, and a very rich man lives there, and we dream about living in a mansion like that. But that's not what he's speaking of here. I believe when we look at the word mansion in this particular verse, it means in my Father's house are many dwelling places. Or we could say in my Father's house are many rooms. When we talk about the mansion, I believe, and this is my personal idea about that mansion. That mansion, we're going to live in a permanent building. Right now, we live in a temporary building. We live in a tabernacle. We live in a tabernacle is a building that that is temporary. It can be taken down. And we as God's children now in this world, we live in a tabernacle. We live in a temporary building. But one day when Jesus comes, this temporary building is going to be transformed into a permanent building. And it will be my mansion. I believe the mansion that we're going to live in, Sister Jo, is going to be our glorified bodies. Changed and fashioned, likened to the glorious body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, now that you can take that or not. But anyway, I want you to see that the word mansion is in here. But and I believe I could even say there's a mansion now empty just waiting for me. Well, where is it? It's over the hilltop. I mean, it's somewhere over there. I don't have a problem with those are poets. And we need to give them a poetic license to be able to mention and things. These songs, Brother Keith, are the way they see things. It may not be the way we see things, but if there is no scriptural violation, we can take those imagery. Now, but I want to this morning take you to the fourth chapter of the book of 1 Thessalonians. Very familiar text to you. Very familiar verses of scripture to you. I don't know how many funerals that I have performed. But I wish, Brother Keith, that I'd kept a record of them. Brother Hewlin can tell you all the funerals. He showed me his journal. And he keeps and I wish I had done that. He keeps a journal of how many men he married, how many funerals, and who they were, and what date it was, and all that. That's a wonderful thing. But I've not done that. But and I can say that at every funeral, especially if I'm asked to go to take part at the cemetery, I always use this verse because it is so glorious to think about putting our and when we think about putting our loved ones in the grave. And this song, Brother David, it says, when death comes and takes our loved ones, it leaves our home so lonely and drear. And it's sad. We are sad because of our loved ones gone. And our heart breaks and we miss them so much. But this verse tells us, he said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Now, the word ignorant here is, don't take an offense to that. It simply means, I would not have you to be without knowledge. I want you not to be to be unlearned about these things. He says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That you sorrow not as others which have no hope. We're going to take these verses one at a time. And if the Lord will bless us, we'll go to the end. But I don't know how far we'll go. But notice verse 14. For if we believe. Now, this is a key. Do you believe? Well, what do you think? What do you want me to believe? I want you to believe what the Bible teaches. If we believe. That Jesus died and rose again. Now, if you don't believe that much, that Jesus died and he rose again, that's the essence of the gospel. That's what the whole gospel message is about. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he arose again the third day according to the scriptures. So all of these things must be according to thus saith the Lord. There's a lot of people that have a lot of opinions about this, especially the second coming of Christ. There's a lot of views floating around out there in Christendom. But he said, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Now, if you believe that, we can go a little further. But if you don't believe that Jesus died and rose again, then you are without hope. Because in 1 Timothy chapter 1, I think it's verse 1 or it may be 2 Timothy, but it says, Jesus is our hope. And without him, we have no hope. Without him, there is no hope. Without Jesus, we are We're all men most miserable without him. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. But notice it says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now then, visualize with me here. We go to the cemetery, just like Lazarus in the grave. We go to the cemetery and there's a lot of weeping and wailing going on, just like it was at the time of Lazarus' death. And we can go over to the, I think it's Mark 14 or so, somewhere in there, where Jairus, if you remember Jairus' daughter, there was this nobleman. He says, my daughter has died. Or my daughter's sick. I probably need to go read that and quit trying to speculate on what it really says. I think it's in, Mark chapter 5. It says, behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. This man had faith. He had enough faith. And by the way, this man was Gentiles. But he had enough faith to believe that Jesus could heal his little daughter. Okay? And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And as he's going, there's another healing takes place. But I want to skip that and go right over to verse 35 and continue with the story of the nobleman or the rich man or the ruler. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue house certain which said, Brother Keith, I've made a mistake here. You know that, don't you? This man was not a Gentile. He was a Jew. He was a Jew. So forgive me for that error. But anyway.
But we have many examples of Gentiles.
Amen.
Who believe the same thing with the same results.
Amen, brother. Amen. But you forgive me that error. But this man was a ruler of the Jews. Okay? And he was in. Gentiles don't go into synagogue. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue, synagogue's house, certain which saith, thy daughter is dead, why troubleth thou the master any further? It's too late. Forget it. And that's the same thing that they said at Lazarus. So, you know, that Jesus stayed away 4 days. They send word to Jesus, Lazarus is sick. Lazarus is sick. And he waits another 4 days, and then in John chapter 11, I think it's verse 11, John 11:11, Jesus says this, these things said he after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. And I said this, Brother David, about the words with ETH on the end. That's present tense. Lazarus is not going to take a nap, but Lazarus is now sleeping. He is asleep. It's present tense. Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. All right? The same thing, the same narrative over here in this one. The ruler, and he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them weeping and wailing greatly. Weeping and wailing greatly. I mean, you could have probably heard them. I mean, there was just all kinds of crying and wailing and crying and weeping going on at the grave of this young. It's very, very sad. Naturally speaking, to see the death of a child. It really is. It bothers me. It hurts me in my heart. But now notice what Jesus says. He said, when he was come into, he saith unto them, why make you this ado? Why are you making such a fuss over this? Why are you making such a big thing out of this? I mean, this is nothing big. He said, why do you make such ado over this and weep? This is a question Jesus is asking these people. Why are you making such a big thing over this? The damsel's not dead, but she sleepeth. She sleepeth. Now, I don't think those people were mistaken when they said, your daughter's dead. I think they knew what dead meant. And just like the ones at Lazarus' grave, Lazarus is dead. Jesus literally told, the people said, well, if he's asleep, then he's doing good, you know. Don't wake him up. Don't wake him up. He's doing well. He said, Lazarus is dead. Now, to you and to me and to the doctors that signed the certificate, dead. What dead mean? What does dead mean? It means he was separated from his natural life. There is no life in this body. So when Jesus says, she's not dead, she's only sleeping, and the people there that was there, they laughed him to scorn. This man's touched in the head. This woman is dead. Why is he saying she's not dead? We know she is. He must be something mentally deranged or something, you know. They laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them out, you know, Jesus doesn't do a whole lot of stuff when there's people with unbelief around. Unbelief. So he put those people out. And he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered in whether the damsel was lying. Visualize this with me now. The young lady, the young woman, is perhaps lying on the table. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Tela taha kuma. I may not say that, but it's tala ta kuma. You get it? The pronunciation's there, and even with the pronunciation, I may not do it. But it says, which is being determined, interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Was that an invitation? Did you say, damsel, if you want to come up, would you just, if you want, no, forget that. She is dead. But Jesus does not have a problem with that at all. To Jesus and to us, when we're these great, I mean, there's thousands of the Lord's children that have died since the creation. But to Him, to the Lord, they're not dead; they're only asleep. And it's just as easy, David, for the Lord to go in there and take this young woman by the hand and say, "Damsel, I say unto you, arise." It's just as easy for that or for me to go in there and try to wake up my son. Probably easier. You ever try to, you go in there and say, Daryl, it's time to get up. Get up. I go back 5 minutes later, I said, it's time to get up. Jesus didn't say, it's time to get up, young lady. Well, let me rest a little bit longer. I mean, it's a punch snooze button. Jesus has power in his voice. He said, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Jesus' voice is the only thing that can give life. And it says, marvel not at this that I say unto you, that the dead shall rise. He said, all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And so when we look at this from the standpoint, our articles of faith, I just read them a little while ago back there. The last one on there, it says we believe in the resurrection of the just and the unjust. We believe in a general resurrection, not a resurrection that will be split up in different ways. We believe that all, when Jesus calls, he's not only going to, he's going to call and they're all going to come up. Now, do you really believe that? Or you just believe it because I'm reading it to you. You see, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, now if we don't believe that, then we don't have a gospel. Period. But if you do believe that, then you got to believe the rest of this story. You cannot believe part of this and leave the other off. Well, I don't want to believe that. Does it bother you when somebody tells you that Jesus is coming back and all that's in the grave shall come out and this earth shall be burned up with fire? Does that bother you? Does that scare you? That everything that you see, touch, smell, and taste, your house down there is going to be burned up one of these days. And you're not going to be worrying about getting a contract and all that stuff. That's going to be the least of your worries, Brother David. When the Lord comes back, you're not going to be having any of these things. You know that people have all kinds of ideas about what heaven's like. But when we leave this world, there's nothing that on this world. There is nothing that is worth coming back for. And Brother Keith, when we lose, say, there's people that have lost their houses and their things. Your dad lost a lot of good stuff in that tornado. But you know what? It's just stuff. Just stuff. And we sing the songs, you know, and I think they're metaphors about the streets paved with gold and the sea of glass. Those are all beautiful pictures, but they're there to give us an idea. You know, people say, well, I'm going to take all my money with me. And this guy, he said he took all of his gold up there, and he said, you brought pavement up here? I mean, taking some gold up to heaven would be like going out and digging up some asphalt and taking it. I mean, that doesn't mean squat. Doesn't mean anything. These things in this world are so, they're just things. And we get so hung up on things. I want to tell you, one of these days when Jesus comes back again, all this stuff that we think is so wonderful, it's going to be so worthless. Now then, let's get the rest of the story. Okay. I would not have you ignorant to them that are asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus rose, died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus. Now, David, I want you to miss this point. God will bring them with him. Get it?
Yes.
He's going to bring them. Well, how can he bring them if they're in the grave? We do not believe that the soul, when the body dies, it goes down into the grave and it stays there with the body. We don't believe that. That soul's sleeping. And there may be some people that believe that, but it's not in the Bible. The Bible teaches that when to be absent from this body is to be immediately present with the Lord. The very moment that we breathe out our last breath, we wake up in heaven. I mean, it's just like going to sleep and waking up over there. There is no great mystery to this, Sister Joe. When you die, he says, I had rather be absent from my body and be present with the Lord. Would you rather? The Apostle Paul said, I'm a straight betwixt two, having a desire to go be with the Lord, which is far better. But for you I stay, I remain. But to die, to live is Christ. To die is what? Gain. It's no big thing, brothers and sisters, for us to think about dying. And we weep and we wail at the death of our loved ones. And Ecclesiastes chapter 7 says it's better for the day of one's death than the day of one's birth. It is. You say, well, we got it all backwards. We celebrate the birth of a child. It's such a happy time. And we cry and we mourn and we weep at death. We got it backwards. You know why we weep and wail? Because we're natural and we love the one that that's gone, and we're going to miss them. I hope to God that we're not praying for that one, weeping and wailing for that one, because that he'll be able to come back home. Your mama wouldn't come back if she could. I mean, she's having a glorious time over there. She don't want to come back here to this old sin-cursed world. But brother, we miss her. We miss her. And your dad cries and he weeps because he misses her. He's lost. He doesn't know what to do without Jackie. But brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, one of these days they're going to be united as they've never been united. They're going to be together as they've never been before. You know, and you say, well, you know they're not going to be married over there. I know that. But they're going to be so much more in love over there than they've ever had before. Right now, our love it's so timid. And it's so caught up with the flesh. We're to love one another as Christ loved his church. But I tell you, when somebody, we talked about forgiveness, remember? If somebody did something to you 7 times in a day, you say, well, I love you, sister Joe, but you come over here and you slap me around and do something 7 times in a day, I'm going to say, that's kind of like that old dog. I love my old dog, but when he comes and bites you on the foot, you're not loving him so much. See, God's love is not like that. You can't just turn God's love on and off like a switch. His love is an everlasting love. And he loved you so much that he sent his son to die in your place. Well, one of the greatest verses that we have, and we love to quote this verse. It says, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that he had given me, I should lose nothing but what? Raise it up again at the last day. The last day. When Jesus went away, he came back. When he arose from the grave, he made the appearance to his Father and whatever. I don't get into that, but he came back and he stayed here on this earth in his glorified body, living among his apostles. And they'd be there talking and visiting, and all of a sudden Jesus pop in. That blows our mind just to think about that. He can just walk. I mean, and it wasn't... He didn't appear as a spiritual thing. He didn't. He said, "Listen to me, brothers and sisters." He said, "I'm not a vision. I'm not a spirit. I am a flesh and I am a body. I'm a body. Come here. Pretend. You feel? You see that? It's me." And to prove that, he ate with them on the seashore. I am not a vision and an image that you can't. And when he went away, Brother Keith, I love it. He said, "Oh, you men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus that you see go into heaven shall come again in like manner." So how did he go up? He went up in the clouds. He's coming back in the clouds. Revelation chapter 1 verse 7 says he is going to come back in the clouds. And I want to read that very, very quickly, because there's a point I want to make in there. Revelation 1 verse 7 says, "Behold..." You know what behold means? Listen up.
What chapter, Brother
Nicholas? Listen up. I'm in Revelation chapter 1. Verse 7. Behold. Behold, Brother Keith. He cometh with clouds. How'd he go away? He said, "All you men of Galilee, why stand you up into the heavens? Why are you standing there gazing up into the clouds?" It says, he shall come back in the same way he went away. And it's not going to be a different one. It's going to be the same Jesus that went away. Okay? I want y'all to understand that. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be unlearned about this stuff. He said, and you don't need to be scared about coming, the second coming of Christ. It's a glorious thing. It's something that we all should be looking forward to every day of our lives. Is it going to be today, Lord? I hope it's today. Wouldn't it be great? Now notice, behold, he cometh with clouds. Listen, David, every eye shall see him, That's not going to be a local thing here. That means everybody in Africa, and everybody in Europe, everybody in America, everybody in Japan, everybody in China, everybody in Iraq, and everybody in Iran. I'm telling you, every eye shall see him. Every person upon this entire earth is going to see him when he comes. Now, brethren, that ought to blow your mind away. You mean they're going to be able to see him everywhere?
Yeah.
That's what this says. Every eye shall see him. They also which have pierced him are going to see him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Why would they wail? Why would they cry and wail at the coming of Christ? Because there's some judgment coming. I am Alpha, I am the Omega, I'm the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, listen to this, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. The Almighty. So in this verse, now let's get on to this. This is getting longer than I thought. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, what he's going to do, I want you to see this. Here we are. I mean, we're here on earth. And there, when Jesus comes, he's going to bring all those saints of God with him. And bring them. He's going to bring them with him. When he comes, they're over there with him. You get it? They're over there with him, and he's going to bring them with him. Brethren, this is exciting to me to think that all of my, every single one, and you know, I guess I miss my mom and my grandmother more than anybody. But Jesus is going to bring them. He's going to bring them. And they're going to come with him, and when they come with him, those souls and spirits over there. Now, I want you to understand when he says those that sleep in Jesus, he's not talking about the soul and the spirit. What's asleep? The body. The body's asleep, and it's just as easy for Jesus to say, "Wake up." As it is for me to try to wake up my son. He's going to bring them. When Jesus comes, he's going to bring them with him. And notice this. For this we say unto you. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Paul says, I'm not telling you. I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm not giving you what I think is going to happen. I'm telling you this by God's inspired word. And if we're going to believe part of this, we got to believe this as well. This is awesome stuff, brothers and sisters. When you think about it, he said, this I say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. And what's that tell you? Just that phrase, what does that tell you? We which are alive and remain. That tells me that God's going to have people on this earth worshiping him. There's going to be his children are going to be here. And I believe his church is going to be here. And those that love him is going to be here. But it says that we which are alive and remain. We which are alive and remain. This we say to you by the word of the Lord. That we which are alive and remain. We who are alive here on earth. When the Lord comes. Shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now, the word prevent, I looked it up. It means there are different interpretations of that, but the real meaning is they that are alive and remain here upon this earth, when Jesus comes back again, he's going to bring all those with him, and we which are alive and remain are not going to go before them. That, you know what that means? You know, listen, think about this, John. That means when Jesus comes back and brings all them with him and all those graves is opening up, we're going to see it. You know, we're going to see it. We're going to see them graves are going to come out if we're alive then. we're going to see him coming out. You say, well, brother, are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. Because it says so right here, we which are alive and remain shall not go before them which are asleep. And there's a popular view of this, and I don't find the word rapture, John, anywhere in the Bible. It means a catching away. But most of the premillennial view is that when Jesus comes back, he's going to raise the church first. All of those who are his children, all of those who are the who have been born again, and basically those who have accepted Christ and believed the gospel and did all the things that they say, he's going to raise them up first. That's not what this says. It says here that those that are here are not going to go before them. That view has them going before us. Who's going to go first? Who's going to be first? It's not going to be us. It's going to be them. So when you look at this from this standpoint, Jesus is going to come back and he's going to raise these up, and they have this wild theory about left behind. That means that if you've accepted Christ, that all the things that you're supposed to do, and when Jesus comes back, you're going to get to go up with him. But if you aren't, then you're going to have to stay here, and you're going to have to go through a lot of trouble, a lot of trials, a lot of troubles and tribulations. If you will not take the mark of the beast, and you will do the things that you're supposed to, you're going to be in trouble. But you're going to have your head taken off. But you're going to be saved. Now, isn't that wonderful? We have a second chance. Now, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, this is preached in multitudes of pulpits in the world. And it's a myth. It's not true. There is not going to be one single one that's left behind. There's nobody going to be left behind. And by the way, if this is true, which is not, I want to ask you the question. All of God's children are gone away. They're up in heaven. They're all taken up. There is none left here on earth that are children of God. Now, my question is this. If all the preachers and all the deacons and all the children of God and all the wonderful sisters here on earth, who's going to preach to these people? Who's going to get them saved? I mean, you can't be saved without gospel. You got to believe the gospel. You got to do all of these different things. So who's going to preach to them if all the children of God are gone? I mean, you're going to have the devil preaching Jesus? That's all that's going to be left here, him and his angels. That's according to them. But listen to me. Our articles of faith teach that we believe in a general resurrection. Read Matthew chapter 25. It says he shall gather all nations before him. And he shall separate them as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. There are sheep and there's goats. And goats don't become sheep and sheep don't become goats. There are goats and they'll never be a sheep. And those who are on the right hand, he said, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But those on the left hand, he's going to say, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Now there's a judgment coming, brothers and sisters, for these people. And there's going to be a lot of people. I say, well, I told Brother Bill this morning, I said, there's going to be a lot of people that's really surprised. Because it's going to be a lot different than what they think. For the Lord himself. The Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with the shout. Now I want you to think about that. It's not going to be a secret. It's not going to be a secret thing. And we just read over in Revelation that everybody's going to see him. So hey, if it's going to be a secret rapture, how's everybody going to see him? Every eye shall see him. And can I tell you this? Every ear is going to hear him too. Every eye is going to see him and every ear is going to hear him. It's not going to be something that's done off in a corner somewhere. And somebody will wake up one of these days and wonder where Joe Hayes is. Well, she's gone. She went to heaven. She got raptured. Uh-oh. What's that? You see, this is fear. You don't live right. You better live right. If you don't live right and you don't do right, When Jesus comes, you'll even be left behind. You have to go through the tribulation. You have to do all those things. And you might even end up in... You know, there's people... John, there's some people that believe you're going to go to limbo. You're going to go over there and somebody can get you out of there. This is so ridiculous. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout. Shout. You know what I think he's going to say? He's going to say, Lazarus. He's going to say, come forth. And it's going to be a loud voice. It's going to be so loud that everyone that's in the graves for thousands and thousands, and I start to say millions, but thousands and thousands and thousands of years that died, the Old Testament saints, and all the ones that we have here on earth, he's going to say, come forth. And they are going to obey. It's just like he said. Now notice, he said, "Shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise second, first. They're going to be first. We're going to be second. We're going to be first. They're going to be first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the air." All right, I can use that word "caught up" right there. I'll accept the rapture there, Jonathan, if you want to use that. It means catch it up. Now shall be caught up. But we're not going to live anywhere but heaven. I'm telling you, when we're caught up, there's not going to be a kingdom. When Jesus comes back here, they're going to set up a kingdom here, and he's going to live and reign on this earth for 1,000 years and make it. I just can't find that in the Bible. Now I find some implications that people use to prove that. But this simply says, now this is a general resurrection. We're all going to go up together. Where is this coming back and running? Jesus is not even going to put his foot on this earth. We're going to meet him in the air. And we're going to go up together. So all these people that have been, that our loved ones that's in the grave, he's going to bring them back. They're going to go into their bodies. It's not going to, Job said, all my days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes, when I shall see for myself. I'm going to see Jesus. You want to see him? I mean, this ought to be, you ought to be so happy and so excited about the fact that Jesus is coming back again. We need to say, oh, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I wish it was today. I wish it was right now. I have nothing that I would be, there's nothing that I want to keep on this earth. But anyway, we which are alive and remain unto the coming, or shall be caught up together with them in the air, in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, if we're going to meet the Lord in the air, where's the Lord? Duh, he's in the air. He's not a vision now, it's a real him. It's the same one that went away. So he's going to be standing in the air. And he's going to say, come, my blessed children. Come and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And you're going to say, well, just a little longer, please, Jesus. Just a little longer. I want just a little longer, Jesus, till I get my loved ones in. Oh, those songs, Joe, they're just made up stuff. I mean, if we're going to teach something, it ought to be according to the Bible. We're going to be with the Lord, and we're going to be caught up together in the air. And it says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort. Does these words give you comfort? They should. And he goes on in the 5th chapter, and I'm out of time. But he says, the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. You don't need me to write this on you. But he says, he said, I don't need to write a thing, but he did. For yourselves also know perfectly well, you know this perfectly well, that the Lord, that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. What's that mean? The thief announce when he, Keith West, I have an idea. I'm going to rob your house, and I'm going to be there on Thursday at 5 o'clock. Be ready for me.
I'll put it in my calendar.
You put her down there and put it on your calendar. The thief does not announce this when he's coming, and neither is the Lord going to know. I mean, there's not a man on this earth that knows the day or the hour that Jesus is coming. And that's, to me, is all this simply means. It's going to be sudden, and it's going to be quick. But notice, he goes on, he says, "For now," I want you to notice the proverb, I mean the pronouns here. He says, he's comparing they to us. Okay? Them and us. And when they shall say, they who? Those that are not looking for him. Those that are saying he doesn't exist. Those that are denying his resurrection or his existence. When they deny him, they say, peace and safety. Everything's okay. Everything, don't worry about this. Everything's okay. The government's going to take care of you. Peace and safety. Everything's okay. They shall say peace and faith. Then, and here's the thief. Then suddenly destruction cometh upon them as travaileth upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I believe those on the left hand, these goats, are the shaft and all this. He said he's going to throw the shaft, he's going to put the shaft in the fire, and it's going to burn up. But the wheat, he's going to put into his garner. But there's a day of reckoning coming. You know, and even in that, I kind of get a little comfort sometimes, because there's people that do some things on this earth that just is so despicable, and it just makes me so mad. And you know what? You're not getting away with anything, because judgment day's coming. A day of reckoning is coming for these people. But notice what he said, Brother Keith. He changes it, the context. He changes the way he's speaking. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that you should that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light. He says that day, if you're looking for him to come and you're listening to this gospel, it's not going to be it's not going to overtake you. You should be looking for him to come every single day. Every day, looking for that glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. It should be something that we're standing on tippy toes. Look at it. Well, what are people? Is he coming now? We're anticipating his coming. And that's what hope is, Sister Joe. It's earnest expectation of that glorious time. And these people they don't have hope. There's no hope for these people that do not believe in Jesus and believe in the resurrection and believe in God. There's no hope for them. They're in despair. And the only thing they have is their things on this earth, which are going to be all go up in smoke. I mean, it's going to be all burned up. You love your houses and your cars and all these things. Well, don't get too comfortable with them, because they're not going to be buried. He says, the things of this world are temporary. The stuff. For you, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of the light, the children of the day. We are not of the night or the darkness. Therefore, and he uses the word sleep here as slumbering and nostalgic and apathetic and being saying, you know, he's not coming. And that's what they say in Peter. He said, where's the promise of his coming? Everything just like it was. There's no changes. You Christians, all you're thinking about is, oh, the Lord's coming. He's coming. The King is coming. He's coming. And you may not believe it, but you're going to see him one day. And you're going to confess that he's the Lord. You're going to say, therefore, let us not sleep as others, but let us watch. That's what we're supposed to be doing, brothers and sisters. We're not supposed to be sleeping and slumbering here. We're supposed to be watching, looking for that glorious appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For they that sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet for the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but obtained salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Saved. Isn't that a wonderful word? Mm-hmm. You know, the Lord wrote your name in his book. And it says, one of the verses over there in Revelation 13, I think somewhere, it said, whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, we believe that the joys of the righteous is eternal and the punishment of the wicked is everlasting. It's the same in duration. We don't like to think about that. But brethren, we don't need to worry about it either, because we're not going to be here when they leave. I mean, we're going to leave, and these aren't right left behind. They're going to be coming out of that grave just the same time we are, but they're going to a different place. They're going to a different place. May the Lord bless you this morning is our prayer, and I appreciate your kind and loving attention.